This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's not new. We've been talking about it for over 10 years now. That, you know, you'll talk about something and your phone will pick it up. Next thing you know, you're being inundated with ads.
Yep.
So we were talking about Valdez's speckled penis the other day. And literally within a half an hour, I'm getting vitiligo ads on my phone. Literally.
That was actually
Twitter. So you know how you ever, or X, whatever you call it, every few tweets, an ad will pop up.
Get so many ads on my Twitter.
Yeah. I'm getting vitiligo ads.
I don't get any of those.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you have something, a setting that's better on your phone or something. The other thing is, I'm embarrassed to admit, I'm not super familiar with this comedian that we're promoting. Joe Coy, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And he hosted
the Oscars or the Emmys and got panned.
I watched some of his stuff, and he's a funny guy for sure.
Sure.
But I'm getting ads for Joe Coy on my phone.
Well, that's because he's hitting Capital One.
I know
Arena.
He's playing locally. I know that. But I think it's because my phone is hearing, because we're running ads for it, right?
No.
It's because your location is probably DC, and that's why it's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a geo thing.
You probably watch reels of comedians and stuff.
Some. Yeah, but it's like come out of nowhere.
Well, no, it's come out because they're advertising. They're promoting it.
Okay. It doesn't seem... Yeah, that's on my Instagram. I don't know why that's popping up. I know why the vitiligo's popping up. Because we were talking about your penis.
We know that.
Or you're Googling it because you're curious.
I've never... You know what? I will do that during the next break. I'm going to Google vitiligo penis.
So Joe Coy,
you want to do like what's the thing where they do the perps? They have them all out there.
Yeah, and
you
perp gotta, walk.
And see if I can ID yours.
Yeah, you got to identify them. You want to see which ones?
No. I just I am gonna Google that during the next break. But anyway,
Joe Coy hosted the Golden Globes and got panned.
He did.
For sucking.
Well,
I don't know anything about Joe Coy.
He's about to sell out an arena.
He's well,
maybe not
doing
sell it out
very well.
Well, he's playing Capital One Arena.
Yeah. I heard Danny mention this because I think
news to me.
They may have been giving away tickets on the Grant and Danny show.
I think we're giving away tickets on this station.
Yeah. And like, think about it. You go from doing, I don't know, small theaters, and then you do one where you got 15,000 plus in attendance.
Great for him.
Probably not a one-off for him.
I did not know he was that wildly popular.
Has he done like movies or anything too? Or is it just purely stand-up at this point?
I'm not that familiar with Joe Coy.
I think this might be the first time. Maybe I'm just completely out of touch. I think this is the first I'm ever hearing his name.
Yeah.
Like I'm not familiar with this person's
work. I was only familiar with him in the last week or so. But I mean.
Is he funny?
I mean, sure. Sure.
Drab, is he funny?
I'll be honest. My only frame of reference for him is when, I don't know how you guys don't remember. We did like an entire day on him when he hosted the show.
I must have missed that. Maybe I missed that day.
He bombed at the Golden Globes.
Yeah. Okay. Don't remember.
That's all I really know about him. He's like Asian.
Vaguely. Yeah. I don't know. My greater point is it just infuriates me when that our devices are just so involved in our lives and just eavesdropping on everything. It just makes me crazy. Now, that one you're saying is a geotag.
I mean, you could part with your devices, but I don't think you're going to do that.
Yeah, you do. You go first, and then I will.
I'm not the one that's that upset. That I just know that everything's listening to everything you said.
That same technology is giving you the reels that you so love.
It doesn't bother me that much.
You don't have like random reels. You're not getting the same reels that Cakes gets or Valdez gets. You're getting the ones that are.
My understanding is that's based on what I'm looking at.
Right.
So it's a little bit different than just listening. There's something about the listening part of it. I bought that cheap tablet, right? And I was setting it up yesterday. And
so you canceled and then you ordered a new one.
Right. And then the original one, by the way, never did come.
Yeah.
And I'm setting it up, and it wants to ask me to allow it to, like, voice all this stuff. And it just tilts me. It just makes me crazy that I'm allowing all these apps.
You allow so many cookies.
Yeah, to be on all the time and to be listening and eavesdropping on all my conversations. It just makes me crazy. Personally, it makes me crazy. I don't know why no one else seems to be bothered by it, but it bothers the F out of me. Not that I'm hiding anything.
I just think you probably don't think of how many times that technology actually helps you.
I don't know.
And gives you things that you want to see.
If I ask for it, fine. But does it have to listen to everything? And it's all mostly just for advertising. That's the way I see it impacting me.
That's what you think.
Huh? Yeah, right. Probably a million other reasons. But, you know, that's how I see it impacting me, is these dumb ads. It just bugs the crap out of me.
So I wanted to bring up something that Jeremy Fowler brought up. Sometimes I want to call him Chris Fowler.
Okay.
There's Jeremy Fowler on ESPN and Chris Fowler on ESPN. Jeremy Fowler. We spent a lot of time talking about Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going to happen here with Myles Garrett, right? He wants a trade. He wants out of Cleveland. Washington fans really want him to come here. Kind of depends on how much you have to give up, right? So Fowler said that he checked in on his sources,
mm-hmm.
and their stance of the Browns is it's a hard no.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I checked in on it this morning. They have no plans to trade him. That's been their sentiment since he made the trade request a few weeks ago. Teams are going to try, but I was told that not a lot of teams have inquired so far, in part because they know the answer is no.
Mm-hmm. I buy that.
Yeah, so don't get your sights set on having Myles Garrett in the burgundy gold. If it happens, it'd be great.
Right.
But if the Browns are dead set against dealing him and want to keep him there, he's under contract. And unless he just wants to sit out and miss game checks, he's probably going to play for the Cleveland Browns.
My new target are those two of the top three free agents there from Philly.
Yeah.
Those are my new targets.
You want to poach the Eagles.
Yes.
I like that tactic.
Yeah.
Make the opponent weaker,
right,
and get stronger.
Does Dallas have anybody of note that
you would like Micah Parsons if you could?
Yeah, but he's not available. I mean, if they give away Micah Parsons, they should just sell the team.
Yeah, they're supposedly negotiating a deal, but
I mean,
look how long it took for the Cowboys to finally ink a deal with Dak.
Gary ultimately pays all his stars, so
I mean, he paid CeeDee Lamb.
Michael will get paid. Micah will get paid.
Yeah, you can't let a top three defensive player, and he might not be three, walk away from your team.
Yeah.
Like, you have to re-sign him.
But I would, I've kind of just, anytime you're talking about a trade, it's just, you're starting to get into, it's a stretch to see if your team is going to be involved in it.
I know Sweat was a monster in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. He didn't have dominant numbers.
And I think he's a good player, but we've talked about this before. His numbers are kind of Arakpo-ish or Kerrigan-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
he's never had, I think Kerrigan had better numbers.
Those guys
he's never had a season over 11 sacks.
Yeah.
The last two seasons, now he's in his prime. He's 27 years old, but his last two seasons, 6.5 sacks and 8 sacks. And I know I'm just looking at the sack numbers.
Well, you look at where does he rank, like, against the run all that? Look at the PFF stuff. Like, we compare him to Chase. Because Chase was very high in the pressure ranking, but like against the run, he was way down. I mean, he just popped so much in that Super Bowl.
So Josh Sweat, overall grade, according to PFF, was a 75.7, which was 28th amongst edge rushers. Let me see if I can get his specific. You want his pass grade and his rush grade. All right. Pass rush grade, 71.5, 38th.
All right.
And his run defense grade, 48th.
Yeah, I mean, he only has...
And somehow that ends up 28th
that
overall.
That doesn't make sense.
He has one season with double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure he's a target.
You may be buying high off the Super Bowl.
I'd be a little bit wary. I'd have him down the list. I'd probably rather invest in a guy coming out of college that I liked more than paying him.
He's just
him.
A sure thing, though. Like, you know he's going to improve your defense. Like, you know
he should
improve your defense.
So your top free agent pass rushers, according to PFF, you've got Khalil Mack. He just seems old.
Yeah, I just feel like that name's been around forever.
But he's their fifth-ranked pass rusher overall. And then Josh Sweat's number two. And then you got Hassan Reddick from the Jets.
Here's an intriguing name. I saw that Joey Bosa might be a salary cap casualty for the Chargers. Would you be interested in a Bosa?
I would, but how old is Joey Bosa
Joey
now?
Bosa, I'll tell you.
Close to 30? I mean, I definitely would.
He's 29 years old.
Are we just assuming that Fowler's not coming back? Because, like, you bring up Chase Young. PFF actually has a comparison of Chase Young to Fowler, and it's pretty comparable.
I like Fowler, what he did.
Chase Young's pass rush win rate was 4% higher than Dante Fowler. All right. His run defense, actually, Chase Young is, his numbers were better than Dante Fowler's, but they're pretty close. Like, why are we just assuming they're going to move on from Dante Fowler? Well, the guy had double digit sacks.
They may keep him in the fold.
I think maybe.
It's just because they were so terrible against the run and we're throwing that on Dante Fowler's.
No.
Lap?
I think also there is some assumption that he's going to go somewhere and get paid. A little bit.
Yeah, but he bolstered his resume with his year here
in
D.C.
I think that's part of it. And I do think that, yeah, look, we just need to upgrade. We can't bring the same. That's why, as much as it infuriates Cakes, and I don't think that they will, but you could almost bring the same cast back offensively and go, well, all right, but at least we know we're going to get 29, 30 a game. They're not going to do that. But defensively, you can't bring the same band back.
Right.
You got to make changes.
It doesn't infuriate me. I just want better talent on offense.
Yeah, I think you're going to get it.
Like, some of those guys that were signed, they performed admirably. Like, Zaccheaus had a really good year. Noah Brown was very good until he got injured. I just feel like you can do better than those guys.
I think they will upgrade.
I feel like those are, like, kind of scrap heap level type of guys.
I think they're going to upgrade there. But they have to upgrade defensively.
Oh, without a doubt.
They have to. And that's why I'm like, this idea that Bobby Wagner is the 41st best player in football? I mean, get out of here.
You hate Bobby Wagner
slander. I like him. He's fine, but he's not the 41st best player in the league at this point in year 67.
Well, what I say about the PFF grade,
it's crazy.
It does seem odd because I would say, watching the defense, watching all the games this year, the guy who pops is Frankie Louvu.
I think
all of us probably have Louvu
sometimes.
Over Wagner. Yeah, he does. He makes some plays,
sure.
But Louvu makes more splashy plays, seems to have a bigger impact to me than Bobby Wagner. But maybe play in and play out, he's consistent. And he racks up the tackles. And I will say, even in the NFC Championship game, I believe Wagner had some good pressures.
No, he's a quality player. There's no doubt about it. It just has such limited range. Just, I don't know. It's hard for me to fathom him being that ranked that highly.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to call us in the MGM National Harbor List Lines. What do you want them to do on defense? If Myles Garrett's off the board and a lot of people wanted him to trade for Myles Garrett, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't believe these reports. They're not going to believe it. But the Cleveland Browns right now, they say they're steadfast. They're not trading him.
That could also be a negotiating stand.
It could
like,
be.
It could just be grandstanding by them.
Yeah, but again, it's
let's
almost
just make
like
that
a Micah Parsons thing. Like, if you're going to trade Myles Garrett, what are you doing?
Right.
What do you want them to do? Would you be interested in somebody like Khalil Mack?
No.
All right, he's 33. Here's the thing about Mack. So last year he played 16 games. He only had 6 sacks. The year before that, he had 17.
Yeah. How'd that drop off happen? That's a big drop.
Sounds like a classic smashing into a wall.
You're up from
17 to 6.
That's a big drop off. I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, I guess if you could sign him for 1 year and $5 million or something, sure, I'll take him. But no, he's not a priority.
He's played in the last three seasons 17, 17, and 16 games. So he's on the field all the time. But it is weird. He had that 17 sack season in 2023. Year before that, 8. Year after that, 6.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on Khalil Mack. Great player, great career.
7 or 8 years ago,
yeah.
Give me all the Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
But at 33 plus?
No.
So you're out on Mack.
Yeah.
Sold on Sweat? You're in on Sweat.
I'm in on Sweat.
I'm not fully sold on Sweat.
I'm not really fully sold on Sweat either.
I just think it'd be an upgrade.
You mentioned the perfect name. Very Brian Arakpo-esque stats.
I'd kill for Brian Arakpo.
Arakpo's
right
stats
now.
Actually way better because I think Arakpo basically every year was going to give you.
He would give you slander.
He would give you between 9 and 11 sacks basically every year.
Can I stick up for Brian Arakpo?
Please do.
I would kill for Brian Arakpo. Prime Brian Arakpo. I would kill for that. We didn't have that. Brian Arakpo was a solid player. There's no reason to slander him.
Didn't want to take his hat off, though, during table madness.
No, he was grumpy.
I think you're overstating, though. Here's what Arakpo did. 11 sacks as a rookie.
Yep.
Then 8.5, then 9. 2012, he was injured. Then he had 10.
Yeah.
Okay, solid.
So, like, and then
very
he had,
solid. I said, reliable.
And then he was,
what are you looking for?
And he was hurt, and he had a half.
That's exactly what I said. When he's healthy, he would give you between 9 and 11 sacks.
Yeah, I love
that. He's a 10-sack guy.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Double-digit sacks is pretty damn good.
Valdez, are you with me? I see you laughing.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. I mean, why are we slandering 10 sacks? Chase Young would kill for 10 sacks.
Cakes wants someone who is, like, in the prime of their career.
He wants T.J. Watt.
Prime of their career.
Yes. 17 sacks.
Cheap. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Not injury prone.
Yeah. Very twitchy.
He's basically looking for a leprechaun in free agency.
Yeah. You're pretty much right.
What Cakes is shopping for, teams don't sell.
Yeah. You guys got to
realize. You're pretty much right. I have high standards.
I know.
Standards are high. I can't lower my standards.
Your boy Joey Bosa, who you're foaming at the mouth for, gave you 5 sacks last year.
I'm foaming at the mouth for Joey Bosa.
Well, you were lobbying for him.
I mean, it's just the Bosas are pretty good when they're healthy.
I mean, like, Cakes wants a unicorn signing in free agency. It's just it doesn't happen.
It doesn't have to be in free agency. Adam Peters, it's your job to go find one of those guys in the second or third round of the draft.
Hold up. Would you rather touch Joey Bosa than Josh Sweat? Joey Bosa, let me just give you a little information.
Isn't Bosa a little bit older?
2021. They're probably about the same age.
Longer than tooth.
They're about the same age.
I think he's 29. Sweat might be 28. That's like a year
again,
difference.
Again, about the same age. Say 10.5 sacks in 2021. Since then, 5 games played in 2022, 2.5 sacks.
Right.
2023, 9 games played, 6.5 sacks.
There's a reason the Chargers
want to
cut him.
And then this year, 5 sacks.
The Chargers are looking at his big fat salary cap number and saying, well, we're not paying you $25 million or whatever your number is.
I might be the only guy.
I think all things being equal, bring back Fowler.
Yeah, I don't know. Kicks, who are you tantalized by in free agency? Hmm. I'm not talking about a trade.
Pass rusher?
Yeah, pass rusher.
I don't know if I'm tantalized by any of them because they all have warts. They all are imperfections.
So you would rather, in your world, find someone in the first 5 rounds of the draft.
Yeah, rather than overpay a Bosa or a Khalil Mack trying to get to the pass rusher with his walker. No, thank you.
I don't understand it. Kicks, I'm not trying to grill you, but I just don't understand it. You're knocking the production of Sweat. But your way out of this is to draft somebody with no production whatsoever in the league.
No resume. You have no idea
if you want to throw a bunch of money at Sweat. That's I'm fine with that.
Doesn't have to be a bunch of money.
Just don't come complaining to me when he only gives you 7.5 sacks.
All right, but it doesn't have to be.
Where's this double-digit sack guy that everybody's talking about?
He's crushing that. But he thinks someone in the fourth round will automatically come in and give you 7.5 sacks.
I didn't say fourth round. I said second or third round. Okay? Come on. Work with me here, Valdez.
The other part of the equation, though, is taking him from the Eagles. So,
yeah,
like, you get the production here, but you also take away from them. It's like a double whammy.
But it's not like they wouldn't replace him.
They would replace him, but not necessarily with somebody better. You know?
Maybe you want them.
Especially if he performs at a high level.
Maybe you want them giving him a big fat contract that he probably doesn't deserve because he's coming off the Super Bowl, which might have been the game of his life.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. You're playing Arakpo clips. Love I hear
it.
You.
I mean, there's only a few times I can play a Brian Arakpo clip and it makes sense.
All right, let's go to Rob's in Landover if you want to chime in. Rob, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm going to tell you, man, the problem with this defense, man, is these two defensive tackles, man. That's what it is. Listen, Dante Fowler had 10.5 sacks. That's not bad.
No, of course.
Bad. I know sometimes it's when you have sacks, are you getting them in the first quarter or are you getting them in the fourth quarter? So that make a difference. But 10.5 sacks ain't bad. It's these tackles, man. These two tackles that we have, man, they're the last two that's left out of the first round pick drafts we had with Sweat, Chase, and these two guys. And these two guys do not shed tackles. I mean, they do not shed blocks. They rarely make plays in the backfield. When they get blocked, they just block. I mean, it's these tackles, man.
Yeah, Daron Payne.
I think they're going to break him up.
Daron Payne.
Thank you for the call.
Getting paid a lot. He's, you know, more expensive right now than Jonathan Allen, I think.
Plus, Jonathan Allen I don't think he has any guaranteed money left on his current deal.
Daron Payne was ranked. This is PFF.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about their grades before, but he was ranked 125th out of 219 tackles.
I mean, that is very mediocre production for a guy who's getting paid. I think he's getting paid north of $20 million a season.
Yeah.
Something in that range.
They're not getting great bang for their buck there.
No.
John is hard to rank because John missed so much of the season.
He's ranked similarly. He's ranked 119th.
Yeah.
So your tackles were ranked 119th and 125th, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah. It's time to at least split them up. Get some more time for Johnny Newton and probably find somebody else.
Coming up next, our pal Mike Marr with his classic movie review on the Junkies.
All right. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier in the show, Kevin McCarthy joined us from Fox 5. Just saw him on TV interviewing Angela Bassett for Zero Day. He gave that a 4 out of 5, gave Captain America a 4 out of 5, hated The Monkey, but still gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Which is weird. Like, if he hates it, give it a 1. Have some stones, just give it a 1 or give it a 0.5.
Zero.
You give it a 0, it's okay.
But now we're going to do Mike Marr's classic movie review. Have we settled in on that as the title? I thought it was Old School Movie of the Week or whatever.
It's probably, the title's still, it's in the works,
workshop.
I would assume.
Yeah, it's still a workshop, still figuring it out.
Okay.
As of right now, we just say Mike Marr's movie review. Now rating, Mike Marr movie meter.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that jumped out at you within the last, like, 2 weeks or so when you started, like, looking at potential films.
Yep, about 2.5 weeks ago, I was just addicted to TikTok and, you know, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
I was getting real carried away
watching
it. Sounds
a lot like the guy sitting to my right.
Yeah, I was watching it for like 3 hours a night. And so my roommates, they pulled me aside and they're like, hey, man, you got to get this figured out. I mean, you got to start watching these classic movies. You know, you're kind of missing out here. So I went back, watched Goodfellas, and then my life changed. Mm-hmm. Once I watched Goodfellas, I just became obsessed with these old school movies. Went back, watched three other ones, and then that's when
kinda
I approached Strad Bobby.
That he's calling Goodfellas like an old school movie. Just makes me feel old because, I mean, from like 1990, I think, 1989.
But old?
Like, I guess it's old.
But they're
like,
just movies that he missed based on his age.
I understand, but what I consider an old school movie is like Citizen Kane. Psycho, but he's a different era, so I understand it. I get it.
So what are the other three movies, just out of curiosity? You started with Goodfellas. I know you watched Good Will Hunting. What else?
It was Good Will Hunting, Pulp Fiction, which was Cheeks, and The Departed.
Pulp
Fiction. Okay.
The Departed was silly.
Yeah.
Kind of wish I hadn't watched that one, because that one would have probably shattered the movie meter ranking. Right.
But off the charts.
So then last
you know, I think you
seven.
Gave a 7.2 last week. Was that correct?
No, he gave it an 8, and he should have been more on brand by giving it a 7 because he wasn't that crazy about it.
I think it was wasn't there a 0.2 in there?
It was an 8.3, and I got swept up in the mania.
Right.
I was just babbling and got excited, and I saw the box, and I opened the box, and it should have been a 7 there.
Mar, you're in charge of keeping your own reviews, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, once we get a decent list, I'll make a graphic, and then I'll readjust my ratings as we keep going. But so this movie that I watched the other night, this was on Tuesday night, is the most complete movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
Hyperbole alert.
The most complete.
Let me tell you. Hold on. What do you mean by complete? Like, it had great action, great romance, it had everything.
You like the
story. It was like watching an all-star game. I mean, not just because of the cast, but just complete everywhere.
Like,
you know,
a good all-star game?
Positions.
Like, or the NBA all-star game?
I was going to say, all-star games nowadays aren't that great.
We'll say the NHL all-star game, the Four Nations Classic.
Okay.
This was a three-hour movie, though, and not once did I look at my phone or did I wish, you know, it would go by faster and it would just end. And I got to also say, they don't make movies like this anymore. I mean, when I say this cast is star-studded, top to bottom, it is just heavy hitter after heavy hitter. And there's also the main character is someone that I have never seen a movie of. And now I'm about to go back in the rabbit hole and watch a million of his classics because this dude's just swinging a hot bat.
So it's not somebody in The Departed.
I'm intrigued. Who is the lead in this movie?
Do you want to give us some of the stars?
Describe the plot?
Are we still trying to guess?
Just let Mark cook.
Just let me cook.
He's only said most complete movie. It's kind of tough.
All right, so we'll just start with, the movie just comes at you fast. I mean, you turn on the movie, you press play, and out of nowhere, bank robbery. We got a semi-truck smacking into another semi-truck.
Oh, I know the movie already.
And then these dudes are just rolling out in mask, and they just wreak havoc, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they took care of business pretty quick. And let me tell you, they took no pity on those security guards. And they were in and they were out.
They were gone. Yeah.
And then that's when you see the main character, which, because going into the movie, I thought, I'll just say his name. It's Al Pacino.
Okay.
All right, Al Pacino.
So you've never seen a Pacino movie?
I had never seen Al Pacino movie.
Isn't that wild?
It's kind of wild.
But going into the movie, I just thought Al Pacino was going to be the bad guy. So then when I see him play when he's the cop or whatever, the detective.
I would argue there are co-mains in this movie, but that might just be me.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he's a weapon. I mean, he just instantly climbed into my top 10 actors of all time. what can't he do? He had so much range in the movie. You know,
Some people say Pacino's a little too over the top sometimes, but I think he was really good.
How would he know? It's the first time he's seen him.
Yeah, I mean, he was really covering all of his bases.
The diner scene hit you?
Diner scene, I must say, was also one of the most intense scenes I've ever watched because it's two powerhouse actors in De Niro and Pacino, and they meet face to face at a Waffle House, basically. And you just don't know where it's going to go next. Like, you don't know if... You know, the cops are going to raid in because
you can feel the tension.
Yeah, it built so much tension, man. I mean, I was locked in on that scene. And then after they
was that a game recognizes game situation too?
It was LeBron against Jordan. I mean, it was Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it was elite level stuff right there. But then you get into, now this is where this could be a little bit of a reach here. I would argue the best scene in a movie involving weapons ever, which is the shootout that they have after the main heist robbery that goes rogue.
Yeah.
It was chaos, man. My TV was at 25, and it sounded like World War II up in my room. I mean, my roommates texted me, and they were like, what the hell is going on up there? Like, you playing the new Call of Duty campaign or what? But it was ridiculously
loud. So you're watching this just in your room by yourself, yeah. Nobody else around, because you got to concentrate.
Exactly, because some of the movies I was watching with my roommates, like Good Will Hunting, and you know, I love watching stuff with them, but you know, they're smoking and joking and yapping.
Right.
I need to lock in. If I'm going to do this review, I want to give it my best foot forward. Hey,
does Eric have any idea what the movie is yet? Because I know JP and Cakes have figured it out.
I'm just more entertained by his enthusiasm than I am for the details of what he's saying. I'll be honest.
So the answer is no. Yeah. Hold up, he just gave you Pacino and... He called him De Niro.
Yeah, it's fine.
De Niro.
De Niro. Hey, it's Robert De Niro.
And they sit down
so
in
money.
A diner together.
Of course I know the movie. Heat.
Yeah.
Got it.
Go ahead.
Robert De Gabadagoo.
Yeah.
But, the shootout, man. I went on you know, a little bit of dive on Google after. Apparently, the scene is so loud with the guns because they actually used, you know, real guns as compared to just faking in the noise. Like, they sat next to a microphone.
This is a Kevin McCarthy-esque tidbit you're giving.
Yeah, they grabbed the M16 and just shot it next to a microphone a million times, and that's why the scene is so loud.
Come for that job.
Yeah, what if we got him to replace Kevin? Can we start sending him to movies and like hype up and have a new movie guy?
All of a sudden, Mar's next to Kevin at the junkets.
Problem is, where are we going to send Mar to go see E.T. in the theater? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, well, no, he would have.
Has he seen E.T.?
He's seen E.T.
E.T.'s a great one.
It's probably on his list.
Have you seen E.T.?
I haven't seen E.T., but, you know, I've seen, you know, obviously, like the clips, the memes of where he's like.
You know what the alien seen looks memes. Like?
Yeah, he's like with the finger. Like, he's like trying to touch something.
Yeah, the Arsenio like finger.
He's got the old school bike where he's getting groceries and, like, Harris Teeter afterwards, too.
Right.
But also, this movie is just full of quotes. I mean, that was the main thing. When I came in here the next day, I'm looking at Draven Valdez, and I'm just hitting these one-liner zings. Like, when they're plotting to, if they're going to do the heist or not, because Robert De Niro looks at the guys, and he's like, hey, man, you guys are already made. You have families. Yeah. You don't need this last heist. Like, I don't really have a family, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. You can join me if you want. And the big dude looks at him. Now, he ended up getting, you know, sniped by Pacino. But he looks at him, and he's like, the action is the juice. So this dude gets fired up just for the thrill of, you know, pocketing some cash.
Yeah.
Which I get sized for. Yeah, great great quotes there. But
the action is the juice. I like it.
The action is the juice. And also, the final scene when, you know,
juice!
When De Niro is running through the
great
airport
ass!
And they're just hiding behind those big towers or I don't know what they are, but they're hiding behind them, and then the lights go off and they can't tell which one they're behind. That also was just as intense as the diner scene, because like I said, man, you have no idea which way it's going to go. Like, when it's a banger film like this, you know, De Niro can come out on top, Pacino can come out on top. Hell, they could shoot each other at the same time, and you don't know what to expect. That movie had my brain in a pretzel for a period of time.
It's killing me. He keeps calling him De Niro.
I like it. He's sticking
with
the bit.
I know.
So what is it rate on Mike Marr's movie meter? I like the alliteration.
Four M's.
Well, I remember last week I had a prop, and it was a box. Okay?
Yeah.
I have another prop here this week.
This is the music for the movie. So
and I'm going to get this locked in. Just fill some time for about 5 seconds.
This is when they're in the bank before the big shootout.
Yes. Everybody down.
Yeah.
We're after your money.
The bank's money is insured.
Yeah. We're not after your money. We're after the bank's money. The bank's money is insured. If you have heart problems, lean up against the wall.
All right. What's going on?
I do like Mike Marr's prop for this.
This could be. He's masked.
All right. This is an absolute show because while I tried to put in my headset, I knocked out my contact, so I'm partially blind right now.
I hope you find the contact.
I can find the contact. I'll just read with my left eye. So before I start, there is the best quote in the entire movie. Don't let yourself get attached to anything you are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around the corner. My movie rating for Heat, 8.7.
It's pretty good.
It seems low for the most complete movie.
8.7.
I don't get his rating.
He's leaving to bro.
Like me with pass rushers, he has high movie standards. He's not just going to give every movie that comes along
a 9.5 or 10. He was upset last week that he gave it a little too high.
Yeah,
he gave 7 and 8.3, but he now wants to... He's going to amend all of this whenever he does his first graphic.
Right.
You can't amend them. You got to keep them the way you rate them on the air.
Yeah, 8.7, I feel like, is a perfect score because it is better than
7, but it also, like I said, leaves room for some of the potential, you know, right, up-and-comers that are on the horizon here.
Excellent.
Just a tremendous movie, though. Yeah.
Nice job, Mike Marr.
Glad you enjoyed
8.7. If you haven't seen Heat in a while, it's worth revisiting. What did Kevin used to do, he used to do, like, movies you're sleeping on.
Yeah, movies you sleep on. Yeah. I don't even think I had underarm hair when I saw Heat. It's been so old. It's freaking old.
What's the best, what would you say is the best, like, classic film in, sort of in that genre? Like, the latest. Like, the last one that's come out.
Town. Probably Town. Town. Yeah. That's the first one that comes to mind.
What about the one with DiCaprio?
Departed.
Departed is in that realm, right?
I think the Town's more recent. The Town's more recent, right, than Departed?
Town's definitely more recent.
It is.
Has anybody watched Den of Thieves? I think they came out with the Den of Thieves, too.
As much as I like Gerard Butler, I like him more as King Leonidas. And I like him more as the guy from the Olympus Has Fallen series. Haven't really gotten into him in Den of Thieves. Maybe I'm missing out. I don't know.
We do have a great movie.
We're not to hurt no one. We're here for the bank's money, not your money. Your money is insured by the federal government. You're not going to lose a dime. Think of your families. Don't risk your life. Don't try and be a hero. Right now, I want you to sit on the floor and put your hands on your head. Anybody feel sick? Anybody got heart trouble? Go ahead and lean against the wall.
He's so De Niro. Love that guy.
I saw yesterday on Twitter, we do have a great movie coming in the works here in the next year or two. So it's a Martin Scorsese classic banger.
He's struggling with these names. Martin Scorsese.
Most confusing
names
ever.
He's an Irish guy. Can you blame him?
Yeah.
So it's described as The Departed meets Goodfellas, and it's starring Dwayne Johnson, DiCaprio, Emily Blunt, and it's following an aspiring mob boss who rivals rival crime fractures for control of the underworld Hawaiian islands.
Yeah, his brain is scrambled. Like I say, his brain's in a pretzel. He's Radford.
I went to Radford.
Islander.
Which isn't the best.
Reading comprehension.
I mean, didn't anybody get into Radford?
Plus, like, he probably drank like a fish for four straight years.
I mean, normally, if you have a pulse, they'll let you in. But to play devil's advocate is I also cannot see out of my right eye right now.
That's true.
My contact is destroyed.
Great point.
Acceptance rate at Radford. 93%.
Literally, everyone gets. Everyone
actually,
gets
I would love to interview the 7%.
Who's not so upset?
Who's not getting in?
I mean, that seems pretty high.
Yeah, you got to pay to play in the Big South.
What other schools were you considering when you picked Radford?
You could guess the West Virginia University.
Oh, their acceptance rate's 100%. Right?
Yeah, but it's out of state, so that's a little deeper
right,
on the coin.
Pricier,
and
yeah.
Then JMU, which was just what a waste of $100.
I mean, you had no
waste
shot.
Of an,
get
that's
you
a
there,
waste
right?
of an application.
I mean, it's like Harvard.
Yeah, my mom went there and she was like, "Oh, maybe the Legacy will get you." And I'm like, "All right, let's be honest with ourselves here."
Yeah.
What was your GPA coming out of high school?
I mean, they have a 78% acceptance rate.
JMU, Harvard, all of a sudden
coming out of high school.
Harvard of the South, right?
Yeah. What the heck?
Coming out of high school,
Brett went there.
Like a
3-0.
Yeah, like you don't really have a lot of options when you're 3-0, when you're trying to go in-state. And I didn't want to go to CNU or anything. I liked Radford because it was close to Tech, so that was part of my rationale of going there.
Mm.
You get like the football vibes and stuff.
Right.
That is rough when you get rejected from a school with 80% acceptance rate. I mean, you got to evaluate your life choices.
You're in the bottom 20%. Yeah,
what can you say?
It was a great 4 years. Look where he's gotten to now. Yeah. He's got his own segment. And he's on fire, this kid.
All right, Mike Marr, great job. That is an 8.7 for Heat on the Mike Marr movie meter. We'll be right back. Stay tuned throughout the show for your chance to win tickets to go see the Harlem Globetrotters. And right now, we're going to hook up caller number 10, 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets to go see the Globetrotters Saturday, March 8th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. So stay tuned for another chance to win some tickets for that. Early in the week, we talked about the NBA All-Star Game, the dunk contest, the three-point contest, and how disappointing it all was, particularly the game itself, which isn't even a game anymore. They had mini games and mini teams, and LeBron didn't even play. He shows up like a half hour before and says, "Not playing. I'm on the All-Star team, but I'm not playing." PK Subban went on a rant about it, kind of comparing what he sees in the NHL versus what's happening in the NBA. Here's PK Subban, who was part of our altcast on Monumental. We got another one coming up March 7th.
What are you playing for? Like, if you're really about it, If you're really about sports, then you're about two things, your teammates and the fans. And I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. When you do not show up to play, you're letting your teammates down. When you do not show up to play, you're letting the fans down that are paying you 40, 50, 60 million. I don't care if you're getting 300 million, congratulations. But these people in here are paying $2,500 a ticket, $5,000, that are blue-collared, hardworking people. If you don't get your head wrapped around that, you shouldn't be in pro sports, because how are we gonna grow? How do we expect you to be an example? Well, guess what? You don't wanna be, you are one. You're on the biggest stage, you just said it. They make the most money, you're an example. You gotta show up, you gotta take that on. I'm sick and tired of making athletes greats, all-time greats, that aren't the best examples. Those are the people that we want our kids to follow, that we want athletes to follow. That helps us in our game. Stephen A., you want athletes to be educated on this and understand this. They got to understand the importance of showing up to the All-Star game and being on the court and playing banged up sometimes and playing injured maybe at times. Thank you. And participating, because here's the thing. Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you. Is to max out. We talk about greatness and it being the longevity of somebody's career. I don't care if you play 50 years. I want your best 10. I want you on the court dominating. I want you to go all out. I want Michael Jordan. I want Kobe. That's what I want in every sport. That's the guy that I follow. If you're a different version than that, you don't get my respect. That's me and that's my angle. That's who I am.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think we got to be very careful on that.
I love it.
He's passionate. Like, he look.
Oh, I
and
love
he's,
it.
And he's right. Like, LeBron, the least he could have done was at least put the uniform on, pose for the picture, play a few minutes. Like, I don't think it's asking for too much.
Well, I don't know what the hidden story there is. Drabby said he was definitely protesting something. I believe you. But it's a different culture, and we've gotten to a point now where we accept stars don't play back-to-backs.
Right.
They only play, there's a load
management.
Load management. You know, they might only play 60 games a year instead of 82, even if they're healthy for all 82.
Look, I guess LeBron has the right to protest and sit out, but then eventually fans are going to have the right to protest by not paying the crazy ticket prices like Subban was talking about, not showing up for games. And then you've got an attendance and a viewership problem if people start tuning out because they're like, okay, this guy's making $60 million, and he can't be bothered to play in their marquee showcase event?
I think people
get upset by that.
But I think because they've set the tone, and they've told these guys, basically, that the regular season's not that important. You don't have to play the back-to-backs. You only have to play maybe 40, 50 games. You can coast through it and then, bring it in the playoffs. That's a culture that the NBA's created. The NHL's not like that. Their boys, they play.
Oh, those guys.
They play.
Yes.
And they fight each other, and they knock each other out, and they go hard.
Yeah, but it's not like 20 million people are watching NHL hockey games.
Nope.
No,
about 4 or 5 million tops.
No, of course, but what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't say we do things so much better. Like, I'm into it. Like, and I'm furious about the All-Star game, and I'm furious about load management during the regular season. By the way, Ovi skipped All-Star games and was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
He legit didn't even show up. Mm-hmm. We love the guy, but it's not any different than what LeBron
fair
did.
Fair criticism.
So, but what PK is saying is true about hockey players, that it is a different culture. But it's not like hockey is just some dominating sport in this country. They have their own massive issues that nobody's watching.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter that
they stumbled into something amazing this week.
He's right, and I just don't know how to fix it. He's right. They play with passion, it seems like, most of the time. Now, they've had All-Star games where it's 15 to 12 or whatever.
Part of that, too, is they're not making the same money as the NBAers are making.
Yeah.
There's no one in the NHL that is making close to $30 million a year, let alone $55 million a year.
His point is it shouldn't matter. You should have respect for your profession. Right. You should have respect for the people that are paying their tickets.
Totally agree with that.
But
how do you fix it, though?
Well, you got to get rid of this whole load management idea.
But beyond that, how do you fix... Like, there are times... I like the NBA. The NBA playoffs, they play so much harder than a regular season game.
Because you've created a culture where you say the regular season doesn't really matter. Yeah. We've perpetuated that for the last 15, 20 years.
You have a front office that views their players as investments. I think that's mainly.
Yeah.
By resting and load management, you're protecting your investment.
Right.
Yeah, like, but beyond that, like, let's be honest. We went to a Wizards game against the Charlotte Hornets.
Yep.
About a month and a half ago, two months ago. I mean, it looked like a pickup game for a while.
It was some sloppy basketball.
It looked like a pickup game. It did not look like they were trying that hard.
Right.
And that happens fairly frequently in the NBA, and you don't really see that in the NHL. Now, do they have as many fans? No. It's hockey.
I think they would argue that there are moments where they go through the motions, too.
Maybe.
You know.
But maybe we just don't notice it. Maybe we just don't notice it as much.
We don't.
Because they're fighting, they're hitting.
But generally, those guys, like, if he's healthy, he's playing.
Yeah.
He may skip an all-star game. Fair.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a lot of games in his career.
Doesn't take games off for load management. That's
see, to
not a
me,
thing.
I know he's talking about missing games. To me, the bigger dilemma is the intensity of the games. How do they ratchet that up?
It all goes together. It all goes together. I don't know. Somehow the regular season has to have more importance. You know, and I don't know how you can fix that.
We talked about this with Coach Keefe. In the Wizards' last four games, they've allowed 134, 131, 125, and 134 points.
No,
does that sound like they're trying on defense?
No, they're just going through the motions.
You know, the weird part about LeBron, just to defend him for a moment, I don't think what he did was right because it whored somebody out of an all-star berth that might have meant something. A lot of people, I know you don't care about Norman Powell. A lot of people thought Norman Powell was deserving of his first all-star game. Would have meant a lot to Norman Powell, but LeBron held on to that spot. His defense, J.J. Redick mentioned this about his game last night. He scored 40 last night at age 40. He's done that, you know, he's had an incredible year. And he's like, he's a billionaire. And what's the secret sauce? He tries hard.
No, he tries
hard. At least in the games, he tries hard.
Well, that's what I've always talked about. The GOATs, they try harder than everybody.
Yeah. Since Luka's been in L.A., his dad like commented, they're blown away by LeBron's work ethic because he shows up for games at 3:30.
Yeah.
They play at 7. They said most guys stroll in about 2 hours before. He's there four hours before.
Because Austin Reeves talked about it.
Yeah, it might have been 2:30.
Yeah, Austin Reeves was like, I'm not showing up at 2:30. He was like, I'm going to beat him to the... He's like,
that's why he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what the greats do, though.
But that's what they have to get in the game in general. And P.K. Subban's making a good point. I just don't know how you fix it.
Yeah.
Guys just have to decide to play with more pride.
It's almost impossible to fix.
Coming up in the next hour, our pal Jim Van Stone is going to join us, the president of business operations at Monumental Sports, and our old intern, David Bernad, who's one of the producers of White Lotus, will join us in studio.